This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The new openness in the Soviet Union is giving way to a new crackdown. Now the government is blaming its economic problems on labor strikes and political rebellion. Yesterday, the Kremlin unveiled a new anti-crisis plan that bans strikes for the rest of the year. One of the most important forums for lively debate in the period of perestroika has been the Soviet weekly Ogonek. My guest, Vitaly Karotich, has been the editor since 1986. He transformed it from a magazine that offended nobody to a forum for independent journalism and outspoken opinion. Under Karotich's leadership, it became the first Soviet magazine that printed uncensored letters to the editor. A new anthology of articles from Ogonek has just been published in America. It's called The New Soviet Journalism. When Vitaly Karotich took over Ogonek, the magazine had a circulation of 250,000. Under his editorship, the magazine became a huge success, and the circulation grew to 4 million. Now Karotich is afraid the magazine might have to change because there's not as much interest in serious, hard-hitting journalism.
Now people start to be tired. And now we start to have more and more independent publications, censorship coming back, but independent publications still existing with small circulation. And now people tired. It's impossible to discuss the problems in economy when we simply have not food in our supermarkets. In this way, now our magazine still the most popular and still with the biggest circulation, but more and more people are interested in what you call yellow press. Now it's possible to collect people if I'll publish article, no, I don't know, was Gorbachev homosexual or something, or book about the first lady of our country on the level of investigation, you know what I mean. It'll be very popular, but I cannot do this kind of journalism. We're still existing on our previous level.
So it sounds like the Soviet press is really taking on some of the characteristics of the tabloid American press.
We start to have it. You see, it's always, in time of great depressions, it's always born. In time of America depression, you born main amount of your tabloids, you born musical, you born all your great artists like Fred Astaire. It was all from the depression year, when it was the saddest period in history. People tired from reality. They need fairy tales. And in my country, I think the same.
What are the new press restrictions that you're operating under now?
It's possible to see that press freedom must be part of general freedom. It's impossible to have free press in conditions as in our country, when paper belongs to government, when printing facilities are all governmental, when you simply belong to government and government every day, each day, can cut you out from the printing facilities and you'll be nobody. Our magazine fight it for independence and start to be independent publication. But in this way, we reach independency, but we have not independent printing facilities. We have a lot of money, but printing machines still in governmental hands. It means that free press, it's more dream until now. We have press law, yes, but in country with strongly centralized economy, it's not so easy. But we're still fighting.
Are you ever punished by the Soviet government with restrictions on your paper or restrictions to access to your printing press or
anything
like that?
Of course, we started from this, and all the history of our magazine, it's Serum of Punishments, and even last year when we started fight for our independency, what did government? Government simply raised price up on our magazine 2.5 times. What more? Only in Washington, it was told me that you have 860 subscribers on our magazine. This year, they received only 2 issues. We published 17, but the Soviet Union have forgotten to send here those magazines. In this way, by sabotage, by the restrictions, it's possible to stop interest to magazine, and I'm really troubled by those facts.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Vitaly Karotich, the editor of the Soviet weekly magazine Ogonek, and a collection of articles from Ogonek has just been translated and published in a new book called The New Soviet Journalism. You referred to the recent independence of your magazine. When you took over the magazine in 1986, what was its relationship then to the Soviet government?
It was very interesting. When I came to magazine, under my glass on my table, I saw big lists where all the names of members of Politburo, ruling group of the Communist Party, and heads of Soviet government, and near each name was written his birthday. And near each date was written color or black and white portrait it's necessary to publish to this great event. What the level on which magazine was existing? Magazine was very popular. It was in all army libraries, in all hairdressers' offices, but people stopped to read it. Now it's forbidden to subscribe our magazine for military libraries. It's a lot of problems with it, but in the same time, individual subscription rising, and now is very high, first magazine in the Soviet Union. When I came there, it was dull, such an official magazine. It was my aim to make it more readable. I'll try to do it, and people start to read it. In 88, American editors in World Press magazine, it was kind of pool, they announced me editor of the year. I was very happy.
So when you became independent, what did that entail?
What it did. You see, first we fought for this. It was not so easy because our magazine, Fighting for Independence, it was very small comparing with Pravda, main Communist Party newspaper, Pravda. It has around 500 journalists only in staff. They have a lot of money, a lot of everything, but they have not profits. And government like to have profits from our magazine. Our profits were around 70 million a year. And government feed it from us. And then when we start to be independent, we are ready to pay taxes, but all money are ours. And that was first conflict, and fight for this independence was more than half a year. Then we win, and government start to cut our privileges, start to tell us that they have not paper for us. It was very, and is, very strong and long fight. They propose us, please do what you did before, and you'll be happy, and we will give you all privileges. We still want to be independent, and it's a very principled fight.
Last August, there was a new press law that abolished censorship and established criminal responsibility for government officials who interfered with the work of journalists. And then after that, Gorbachev suggested suspending those new anti-censorship laws. What are the state of those laws now?
They cannot have free press. And I remember how Gorbachev shouted that he want to have free press. You see, but always depends on it. You must understand, when we are fighting for free market, Gorbachev always speaking about free socialist market. What it means, nobody knows. When we are fighting for free press, it's going about free press, but then Gorbachev and other leaders say that we must have free press, but free for, and then they start to tell for whom. Our leading rulers of our country, they still want to have free press, but free in the borders which they'll permit. And Gorbachev, really interesting politician, when he start to have so many truths around him, he start to afraid it. And he proposed to stop press law. It was not so easy, but he proposed to stop it. It was not voted, but I think it's still possible to do. Another thing, government still controlling all the resources of paper and all the printing facilities. In this way, it's possible to control everything. Our magazine is strong and we're still fighting for survival. But so-called small, little independent publications rise paper price two times and they'll die.
Have you seen a change in the way Gorbachev responds to criticism in the press?
Gorbachev always hated criticism in the press. He is a wise man, but when he reads something bad about himself, he starts to be crazy. It's interesting because many times when we had real conflicts with him, it were conflicts on the level of critic. When we criticizing the army, which he afraid, or when it's possible to criticize him personally. It were strange events in 87, I remember. Statistics gave us fact that the 60% of Soviet people support the idea of perestroika, 40% are against. After this, Gorbachev announced that 100% all the Soviet population supporting the perestroika. When we published different figures, 60-40, which were quite normal, we immediately received a call, and we were asked to fire a journalist who published, who prepared this article. I was punished. It was for half a year for such a small, stupid detail. And if we criticize Gorbachev and somebody of leader stronger, especially when we criticize our defense minister or KGB head, it starts to be such dangerous that it's impossible to work. But you see, profession must have those situations, and we try to survive.
Did you fire the journalist who Gorbachev asked you to fire?
No. It was a very interesting fight. The name of this journalist was Birukov, and he was a member of my editorial board. I simply hit him.
You hit him?
I told him that he is fired, and I crossed him out from editorial board, and I put him back only in 2 years into editorial board, but I still keep him in my staff. I paid him the same salary, and he working because he was good. He is good journalist. He never signed articles by his name for a year. Then it became better.
Oh, so you hit him by little word tricks and things
yes,
like that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's take a short break and then we'll talk some more. If you're just joining us, my guest is Vitaly Karotich, the editor of the Soviet magazine Ogonyok, and a collection of articles from the magazine has just been translated and published in the new book, The New Soviet Journalism. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Vitaly Karotich is my guest, the editor of the Soviet Union's most popular magazine, a magazine that's been known for its dissent since he took it over. The magazine is Ogonyok. Why did you become a crusader when you became the editor of Ogonyok? That hadn't been your reputation until that point.
You see, it's dangerous moment. Sometimes it's dreams in strong women's heads, men's heads. I was from the generation which always dreaming about freedom. In 56, we received secret Khrushchev speech about Stalin crimes, and we were dreaming about this, about the democracy, freedom, but we never had chance. In 85, 86, we received this chance, and Gorbachev was from the same generation. And we did what we can do. It was dangerous age I have now. It's the age of the last chances. I think after 50, you start to understand that it will be one chance more to do something, and it will be not so easy to do something more. It will be last chance in my life. Once I asked Gorbachev, are you responsible for what are you doing? Do you understand that if your perestroika fail, tens of millions of people whom you provoked will be punished, will be arrested, maybe even executed. In what way you'll live, in what way you'll be happy? He interrupted me and then he told, and you think I'll have one perestroika more? It's my last two. The responsibility of our generation was in this, but I think now we need more and more youngsters. Now we need new ideas, new brains, and one of Gorbachev's mistakes that he's still surrounded by people who are elder than he is. We need more youngsters. I always tell that government it's not football team, but necessary to have young people there too. I think it's very important moment. I did it because I always was dreaming about this and I fulfilled my dream. Now I'm happy. I don't know what it will be after, but we need new step, new people.
Are you afraid that there will be a big crackdown coming up soon and that you will be punished or perhaps even put in prison?
Yes, it'll be. I don't know what it'll be with me, but strong crackdown will be in few next months. I think our military-industrial complex is ready. I think they'll make attempts. I'm afraid even next days, May 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, I don't know why, but in my country, they announced as free vacations for all the country. 4 days, angry, hungry country, people who have nothing to drink and nothing to eat, people will be in the streets, and it's possible to organize each kind of provocations. I afraid it. But what can I do? I'm happy. I'm happy for what I did. I am happy for my magazine. I am happy for people's support. I am happy that I was elected the deputy of our parliament simply from the street. People named me. And from the first balloting, I received 84% from 12 candidates. People believe in me and in my magazine. I never was so happy. Of course, it's dangerous happiness, but beautiful.
What have you been covering in the magazine during these days of crisis?
Strong articles against the economical policy of ruling Communist Party. Strong articles with alternative ideas. Strong support to people with independent way of thinking. We trying to publish, to make very constructive magazine. Each month we announced Man of the Month. It's very interesting. We are paying our pulse, and we announced in January, Man of January was Shevardnadze, Man of February was Yeltsin, etc. We announced people who are really popular, and we tell to the government, don't invent new heroes. You have people's leaders. You must listen over them. Please support people. But government still want to make people happy in its own way. I'm afraid that it will be tragedy, at least.
What do you think of Boris Yeltsin, who's now president of the Russian Republic?
I think he's genius of bureaucracy. I think he's very interesting man. It's men like Reagan. It's the same type of leader, men who really interesting bureaucrat and who never try to do everything himself. Gorbachev start to push away from him all people who are not 200% agree with him. And all those people start to concentrate around Yeltsin. Maybe Yeltsin is not so bright as Gorbachev, but his staff is brilliant. And in this way, Yeltsin start to be a real leader because he's serious and interesting man. I think Gorbachev was more popular and had more chances in the beginning. But now Yeltsin is popular, but it's necessary to understand that Yeltsin still Russian leader. He don't want to be the leader of all Soviet Union. He even not recognize Soviet Union as it now. He want to be leader of Russia, and he want to be equal leader with leaders of another republics. Gorbachev want to be head of everything. He want to be head of all structure, of all empire. In this way, they have quite different ideas on what Soviet Union must look like. I talked with Yeltsin and he told me I need four republics, Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan and Belarus, who'll unite, sign agreement, and then if others would like to add, fine. If not, we'll survive without them. Gorbachev want to have all republics together now, and he forbid all the variations. I think it's dangerous because those people connected as Siam twins. They have the same stomach and two different heads. I think now they must support one another, but they still hating one another.
Do you think Gorbachev has much longer?
I think now military-industrial complex start to use him as human shield. I think now they try to have all power in their hands and have Gorbachev only as a man who is symbol of power. Now, today, those days, it will be plenum of ruling Communist Party Central Committee. But then radical and right-wing all deputies want to have the session of Supreme Soviet where they propose to announce impeachment for Gorbachev. It's a dangerous moment for him, and if he'll go to Supreme Soviet, it's possible. Maybe he'll announce martial law himself. It's not so easy to imagine what it'll be. But in this way, now conflict came to climax. I think in the next 2-3 weeks, it'll be solution.
What kind of solution?
I'm afraid that it'll be martial law or kind of strong dictatorship. It's possible to imagine because now country dispersed. I cannot tell you that it'll be salvation, even worse. It can be step forward the civil war. But we cannot have civil war in our country. For civil war, it's necessary to have at least two strong ideas. For many civil wars, it's possible to have many smaller ideas. And I'm afraid that in Soviet Union, we'll have 5, 6 civil wars in Middle Asia, in Caucasus, in Baltics, and a dangerous and bloody perspective. It's necessary to stop it, but I don't know yet in what way.
You're going back to the Soviet Union soon, right?
Yes.
Well, how soon?
26, April 26.
That's very soon. How do you feel about going back during a period of crisis, when you're predicting that a dictatorship will be ruling in a couple of weeks?
I'm man, and I understand as human being, I must stay here, especially because many institutions propose me this. As deputy, as editor-in-chief, I now must be there. It's a stupid situation, but to save my face as man, as Democrat, as journalist, I must be now with those who need me. If I'll be somebody else, but now I must do what I oblige to do until the last. If it'll be impossible to work, I think I'll go out and wait until it'll be possible to work once more. Now it's too dangerous, but we never have choice. It's necessary to live in such a way that you wake up in the morning and know that you are doing all you can. I think it's my journalist happiness.
Well, I want to thank you very much for spending some time with us. Thank you.
Thank you for all. Thanks.
Vitaly Karotich is the editor of Oganyok, the popular Soviet weekly that has pushed the limits of Soviet press freedoms. A collection of articles from Oganyok has just been published in English. It's called The New Soviet Journalism. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.